Okay, let's do a little ritual. All of you in the front, move forward, please. Okay, not so your head blocks the pipe. Gail, we have a front row seat for you.
Yeah, right? I got my eye on it.
Okay, we.
I just want to put my jacket.
Got your name on it, too. Gail's seat, don't touch. Stay away. Now, you came with a friend?
My daughter, my
your
younger
daughter.
One. She's the younger one.
What's your name? I don't remember your name.
Ayani.
Ayani. I remember when you were much smaller.
Yeah.
Much smaller.
You saw her first when she was like 9 months.
Okay.
Now she's almost 20.
Good Lord. Do we have anybody here that's really new, like doesn't know who was Lord Chaitanya? Kaliya Krishna, the fellow behind you. Are you a veteran or you're a newbie?
Yeah.
Huh?
The devotee initiated.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Okay. Okay, so this is part four of a four-part series. And some of you weren't here for 1 through 3. So I'm going to briefly say what we covered in part one and part two, and then we're going to ask for those of you who are here on Monday to volunteer what you remember from what we heard Monday. But we're discussing a book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it's a dialogue between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur on the holy name. So the first evening we heard very memorable, at least from in my mind, memorable narration, description, glorification of the life of Haridas Thakur. And then chapter one of Harinam Chintamani, that's the book that we're summarizing here, described the glories of the holy name and many things. It was a really long section, the longest of the three, ending with, of all the different processes for the different ages, this chanting of the holy name is best, along with the various teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The summation of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya rests in giving Krishna in the form of his holy name. So basically, you know, let's all join in the chanting of the holy name, the glories of the holy name. And then, so Monday, we discussed accepting the holy name. Once hearing the glories of the holy name, let us, Haridas Thakur, describe accepting the holy name. So, who can, I know it was 3 days ago, but who can remember some of the outstanding points from that discussion, chapter two, acceptance of the holy name? Yes.
Once you accept / chant the holy name,
yeah,
your material existence is finished.
Yeah. Material existence is finished just from chanting of the holy name. The potency is there. Is your material existence finished? That's what we were discussing Monday. So, the potency is there in the holy name to deliver one from material existence. Yes?
There's a difference between the primary names and the secondary names, and yeah, the primary names are the ones which lead to Krishna Prema.
Yeah. Primary names and secondary names. You ever heard that before? You weren't here on Monday. She was busy. She had a class. primary names, a characteristic of the primary names is Krishna and his relationship with Krishna's devotees. So in the text itself, it gives these two examples, Nanda Nandana and Yasoda Nandana, meaning Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda, and their relationship with Krishna as their child. So, just like the song that we sing, the Jaya Radha Madhava song, they're all primary names. Names of Krishna with Krishna's devotees, if you go through the song and think about it. And primary names deliver love of God. And secondary names, that's describing the post of the Supreme Person, and the post of the Supreme Person by chanting those names, like Paramatma, or Yogeshwara, or Yajna Purusha, same names like that. Those are secondary names that can deliver one from the ocean of birth and death, not to the stage of entering into Krishna's eternal pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. Any other points? What can you remember? You probably remember the whole class.
We discussed about the four ways to know Krishna, like the Nama, Rupa, Guna, and Leela.
Yeah.
And how if you have Nama, the other three follow.
And, that's very good. So, it's not that when we're chanting the name, we should think of the form or the pastimes. When we're chanting the name, we should absorb our attention in the name. Because within the name are all those other things. And the name, it becomes revealed unto one who fixes attention on the name. The name becomes revealed. There was a nice metaphor. Who can remember the metaphor? Yeah. Two dancers.
Name and form are two inseparable dance partners.
They're like dancing partners. Eternal dancing partners. And they have different fields of dancing, and that was the metaphor that Haridas used. So two dancers dancing. Yes?
Yeah, you also mentioned that with the chanting of the primary name of God, the opening of the heart develops.
Uh-huh.
And
you're reading your notes.
These are directly to who God is.
Okay.
And you also said this is addresses the personality of God directly.
Yeah.
Because it's the most direct way.
Yes. Yes. Good. Anyone can remember anything else? Okay.
Name and the holy names are only the spiritual things.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fully spiritual. Does anybody remember there was a particular offense or aparad that was mentioned? That the separate, remember that separateness? Who remembers that? Well, wait. Let me see if there's somebody else besides that hasn't spoken yet. Do you remember the separate part? Yeah, go ahead.
The holy name and Krishna himself interpreting that different.
Yeah, so it's an offense, like it's a primary offense to think that they're separate. And there's a consequence to that offense. We feel ourselves separate even when chanting Krishna's holy name. And so, at least philosophically or conceptually, we may not feel that connection, but we should understand that they're non-different, that Krishna and his name are non-different. Remember that?
Yeah. Vyavadana.
I was going to ask, does anybody remember the Sanskrit?
Is it Vyavadana?
Vyavadana. Vyavadana. It's a Sanskrit term. Vyavadana aparad. Offensive. Seeing the name of Krishna and Krishna separate. So that the message of Haridas is, let us, when we chant, conceptually, at least, you know, be have our intelligence guided by the proper siddhanta, the proper conclusion, and then let that direct the mind as the mind is directed to go to the name. Okay. Anybody want to add something else, or we're ready to go on to chapter 3? Yes.
Chanting the holy name cleanses the heart, soul, and
mind. Chanting of the holy name does what?
Cleanses the heart, soul, and mind.
Yeah. Okay. Now, there's a connection between chapter 2 and chapter 3. It's not so abrupt. It's a smooth transition. There's the name, and there's the abbas, or shadow of the name. And so, this chapter, Lord Chaitanya is going to ask Haridas Thakur, basically, can you give an anatomy, or dissect this namabhas, because it's necessary to get to go through the namabhas stage to the namabhas to the pure holy name, or Shuddhanam stage. Okay, so now here's a very nice painting, and I'm going to introduce you to the personalities, or see if you can guess who's who in the painting. These two personalities you should know right away, right?
Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu, and next to him is? Nityananda Prabhu. And with the white hair in the back, want to guess who that is? Very elder resident in Puri. A Brahmana of the name, it starts with an S. Sarva Bhuma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. And who were the chief associates, constant companions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri? One of them was a sannyasi, he's pictured here. Another one was at least previously, he was a governor. And then he became an associate of Lord Chaitanya in Puri. That's the bearded person here. Ramananda Roy. There he is, Ramananda Roy. And over here, starts with an S. Srupdamadar was a sannyasi, as was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these two, Srupdamadar and Ramananda Roy, were constant associates of Lord Chaitanya. And here is the reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the members of the Panchatattva, who was particularly accomplished by the grace of Lord Chaitanya in speaking the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya went to hear from him regularly. Gadadhar. This is Gadadhar, a childhood friend of Krishna, childhood friend of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Puri, he went to Puri, became a worshipper of the Gopinath temple, and there he recited Srimad Bhagavatam. And behind him, this is Rupa Goswami. He didn't constantly stay, but he's pictured here. And there was a young, much younger than everybody else, sannyasi, Chota Haridas. And he's pictured here. And I don't know who this one is. And lying down is Maharaj Prataparudra. The fact the painting was commissioned by Maharaj Prataparudra, showing his submission to all the saintly people who were residing in Puri, the place where he was the king of. And over here is Haridas, hanging up his clothes. I don't know why he looks so chubby, because Haridas must have been very lean. But in any case, that's how the artist depicted him. And the location, those of you that have been to Puri would recognize this checkered, white and black marble ground is around Narendra Sarovar. If you remember from Chaitanya Charitamrita, when they did the Gundicha cleansing, they gathered water from Narendra Sarovar in clay pots and passed them one by one back to the Gundicha temple. And other pastimes took place here. Narendra Sarovar. And Narendra Sarovar is very near to where the palace of the king was. So it's a place where he would regularly go, and the festivals of different kinds would be held there. So that's our introductory image. So here's chapter 3 of Harinam Chintamani. Namabhas and Vichara means considerations. Considerations regarding chanting the holy name where it's not yet at the stage of pure holy name. But it's, Prabhupada would call it the clearing stage. So lower, intermediate, and upper. Lower is offensive. And there's going to be, he's going to touch on something that's in relation to offensive in this chapter. But how the offensive can get cleared. So he begins, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Glory to Lord Chaitanya, to Lord Gadadhar, and to Lord Nityananda, the life of Janava Devi. Glory to Advaita, the husband of Sita. Glory to Srivas, and all the devotees of the Lord. This is a different Panchatattva mantra than we normally recite, but it's definitely a Panchatattva mantra. Extending his lotus hand, merciful Lord Chaitanya picked up Haridas. He said, Haridas, by your words, I wish to understand Namabhas very clearly. So that's the topic of the chapter. One who understands Namabhas can attain Shuddhanam, pure chanting of the holy name. By the mercy of the pure holy name, the soul can easily cross over the ocean of birth and death. As the brilliant sun destroys the darkness of night, the holy name has the power to destroy the darkness of illusion. The graphic image is attempting to show the sun rising in the morning, but there's some clouds covering it. However, clouds and mist may cover the sun of the holy name. The individual souls, there are these two categories. We're going to hear this throughout the chapter. Ignorance, or ajnana, and material tendencies, or anartas, become like mist and clouds. So there's two types of abhas, or coverings, of the holy name. Mists and clouds. Obstructing the light of the holy name. When the sun of the holy name rises in the sky of the heart, beautiful image. When the sun of the holy name rises in the sky of the heart, the devotee experiences only a portion of the full effect of the holy name. And only a portion is because of these two things, ignorance and material tendencies. So we're going to hear about, this is the Namabhas, these are the anatomy of Namabhas, as these two, ignorance and material tendencies. In reality, the sun of the holy name can never be covered. Rather, the senses of the materially conditioned individual are covered. In some cases, the holy name will appear in full force in the chanter, but in others, due to the abundance of these two things, ignorance and anartas, is being translated here as material tendencies or unwanted things, more literally. Material tendencies. The effects of the name upon the chanter will be minimal. Something, and we're going to hear, there's a whole section on the glories of Namabhas. But that's the glories of Namabhas is minimal compared to the glories of Shuddhanam. So now, of the two, there's the mist of ignorance and the clouds of offenses, or anartas. We're going to hear three types of the mist of ignorance. So here's Lord Chaitanya and his Sankirtan party, surrounded by the holy name. And down here are conditioned souls in the ocean of material existence, drowning and struggling and not having a good time in life. This suffering, the root cause of suffering, is ignorance. So to overcome the ignorance, we need to know there's different types. One is ignorance concerning the holy name. Haridas says, when one does not understand the spiritual nature of the holy name appears to enter into the darkness of ignorance. So aside from the holy name, then there's also Krishna's position. The soul who does not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead will worship many demigods or worldly men. In this way, he is lost, wandering on the path of karma. If you remember from the first chapter, Haridas Thakur said there are two, in this world there are two things that are fully spiritual, and that's the name and
the holy name.
And what's the other one?
The holy name.
And what's the second one?
The jiva.
Ah, there we go. Thank you. Misunderstanding the jiva. A soul who does not understand his own spiritual identity as a soul takes shelter of maya. He is always in ignorance. So, how to address ignorance is best through knowledge. And how does one get knowledge? Well, scripture gives the knowledge, but persons deliver the message of the scripture. Haridas exclaimed, today, I am most fortunate. From my mouth, the Supreme Lord himself, Sri Chaitanya, will hear about the holy name. Knowledge means knowing that Lord Krishna is the master and all individual souls are his servants, while the non-conscious gross manifestations of maya are dull, lifeless, a mere byproduct of the master. When a soul does not know these truths, the shadow of ignorance obstructs him from the pure holy name. This is one cause of namabhas. So here's a little graphic showing stages. So this stage at the top, this is part of a larger painting, but the living entity is walking away from Krishna, who's over here, and over here is the cloud of the material energy, and he's entering the cloud of the material energy. So separation from being a servant of Krishna is where this cycle begins. Then one becomes deluded about oneself, that is, we take on another identity and as opposed to who we really are. Then the modes of nature take over, whatever that identity we think that we are. The three modes of nature up here, conditioning the living entity. And then one becomes deluded by the dualities of desire and hate. And utmost of all is this desire to then become one with God. That's God, and there's the fellow. Who are you? Move aside. I want to be God and be a Krishna. So these are cyclical or sequential stages of delusion. And if one is in any one of these stages or combination and begins chanting the holy name, ignorance is going to still act depending upon the degree of strength that one is invested in any of these darker positions. Haridas says that namabhas, this mist of ignorance type, can be counteracted by knowledge. Sambandha tattva. And sambandha tattva, he says, as long as the jiva is not firmly established in knowledge of sambandha tattva. Does anyone here not know the word sambandha? And I should explain it. Sambandha. Sambandha is a Sanskrit word that means relationship. And specifically in this case, it's the relationship between everything and its source of emanation. The relationship between anything and everything and where it comes from. Knowledge about that relationship is sambandha tattva. So, to establish proper knowledge of Sambandha Tattva, or the relationship between God, his energies, and the jiva, he will continue to chant without that proper Sambandha. So let's just say it positively. We need Sambandha Gyan along with chanting. We need to know what's what to get the full effect of chanting. Chanting is great. Chanting is that we're going to hear the glories of even chanting what we don't know what's what. It's great. It's very, very powerful. But the full effect isn't going to come until there's proper Sambandha Gyan. So how do we get beyond that nist of ignorance stage? Haridas says, when the serious chanter takes full shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, he learns how to expertly perform devotional service and thus dispense the mist of ignorance in his heart. It's not something that's out there that's the problem. It's something that's in here that's the problem. So not just information, but light of transcendental knowledge. Emphasis is going to come, you'll see, in terms of application of those things that we hear from the spiritual master. So that was the mist of ignorance. Now here comes the second type, the clouds of anartas, or the Sanskrit term artha, A-R-T-H-A. Artha means something wanted, and anartha means something unwanted. So the things in the heart that we're very attached to, but they're actually contrary to our real interests. So that's what anarthas are. And according to Harinam Chintamani, or according to Haridas, these anarthas are categorized in three according to the source from which they come. They rise in the heart coming from thirst for the impermanent. Literally, that's what this means. Asat, Trishna. Trishna means thirst, and asat means impermanent or temporary. There's sat, that which is eternal. And asat is temporary. So hankering for things temporary. I want fill in the blank. And then the list starts to grow. And as long as there is this thirst for the impermanent, whatever, it can be material objects, but it can also be, you know, honor or recognition or appreciation or position or achievement or something. It isn't necessarily just gross physical objects. It's anything that's temporary. That's a cause of one of these, the clouds of anartas. The second category, he's going to detail this further. This is just getting the three categories first. Miserly weakness of heart. Hrid indicates the heart, and dorbalyam is, you know, weakness. Or miserly weakness of heart. I don't know if I mistranslated this. It's in this phrase, Hridaya Dorabalyam, appears in Bhagavad Gita. Correct? Or no?
Yes.
Arjuna is asked by Krishna, my dear Arjuna, how has this Hridaya Dorabalyam overcome you? This miserly weakness of heart. Miserly weakness is, you know what to do and you don't do it. Or you know what not to do and you do it. Why? Because there's weakness. Not because there isn't knowledge. You know and you don't do it. Because there's weakness. And weakness because there's attachment for being the enjoyer independently from Krishna. And the third is aparad. So we're going to hear the rest of this chapter is how these can be dealt with most easily compared to this one. Now that, again, let's just say these are things that deal with coverings of the soul. There's the soul, and there's coverings of the soul, just like there's a sun, and there's clouds that cover the sun. What clouds can cover the sun? The sun's too powerful. It's just our ability to see the sun become blocked by clouds. The sun doesn't become covered by clouds. Simply, our ability to see reality with a capital R becomes blocked by these tendencies that are within the heart. If you remember from those of you with us on Monday, there's, we use this term vasana. Vasana means, literally it means like garment or that which covers the body is a vasana. And for the soul, there's vasanas, and that's material tendencies. Strong material tendencies. And how do those strong material tendencies get there? Well, they get there by activities in ignorance. And those activities in ignorance, they make an impression. I'm contemplating, probably I'll do it, make a sequel. Next time I come back, I'm going to do a sequel to this whole discussion right here, based on a teaching that Jiva Goswami that parallels it, just goes into it more deeply, of the distinction between this mist of ignorance and the anartas, the clouds of anartas from Bhakti Sandarbha. It's very fascinating. So when we do something, whether it's pious or sinful, here's what happens. The senses perceive what it, you know, like here we are sitting at 26 Second Avenue. And whatever, from whatever the vantage point you're sitting, I'm sitting here and I see the cars passing by and feel the cold air passing through here. And so there's impressions, visual and tactile and audio, and, you know, there's impressions coming. Whatever, wherever we go, you go, however you're going to get back, you go in the subway or get in your car or however you're going to get back, you'll be experiencing something different than here. And those experiences go through the senses. They're stored in the mind. It's like a photo file. And the impression is stored. So piety is stored. Impiety is stored and mixed. And each one makes an impression. The Sanskrit word for impression is samskara. And so there's all these memories. And if there's a cluster of similar-like memories, it's called vasana. It means, you know, it becomes something that's like our nature. I know a few somebodies, they get up at 2 o'clock every morning, and they've been doing it for like 30 years. You know, for somebody else that hears about getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning, they cringe. Oh, my God, 2 o'clock in the morning. For some people, that's their nature. For them, it's no problem. And, you know, to do something other than that, that would be a problem. Because it's an impression that's been stored just by practice and practice and practice and practice and practice. Or somebody else has a whatever that's some nature is. Somebody insults them, they become angry. And it just keeps happening again, and then there's like this, it doesn't even remotely look like somebody's insulting them, they get angry. They meant to like say something nice, and they think it's not nice, and they become angry. Because of this vasana, it's propensities that are just built up. And as far as the soul is concerned, it's covering. It's not really the soul. It's a covering of the soul. And that according to the modes of nature and according to, you know, karma and guna. We have this whole package even before we're born, or when we're born with a package called mind. And in the mind, there's all these things stored. And it rules our lives. Like it or not. The body that you get and the mind that has carried you into that particular body. Just like Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita purport in chapter 15, verse 22, you get the body of a dog based on your past guna and karma, and you think you're a dog. You do things that dogs do. You bark and you wag your tail and chew on bones, and you do dog things because you got a dog's body. And this same soul can get the body of a king, and you think you're a king. You sit on a throne and I'm king, and you have those feelings and activities of a king. Although you're not a dog and you're not a king. But we identify so strongly with those coverings. So now, here we are, you know, neophyte devotees trying to go beyond those things. And here's the anatomy of some of those things. You know, what the force that drives, that keeps the vasana conception going instead of unplugging it, is thirst for the impermanent, miserly weaknesses of heart, and offenses. So Haridas wants to teach us how to get on the other side of that. He's very merciful. So let us listen carefully. These clouds in the heart block the rays of the transcendental sun of the holy name. The faint image. So there's like there. There's the sun, but it's not, you know, the full brightness of the sun isn't there. It's the image of the sun, but it's not the full image of the sun. It's a faint image of the sun. Oh, whoops. This is supposed to show up later. So, according to Haridas, this second type of namabhas can be counteracted by applying the instructions that we receive. Somehow this isn't right. Yeah, okay. All three anarthas, those three.
Asat Krishna.
Asat Krishna, thirst for the impermanent. Vridhaya Dorabalyam, weakness of heart. Aparad, offenses. All three of those can be removed, are meant to be removed by emphasis, receiving and applying instructions. This is going to be a wonderful topic when I want to develop it some more. There are different ways of applying ourselves to the process of devotional service, and you know, and more commonly than we would like it, it's mechanical. And there's a devotional way that's not mechanical, and we'll discuss. But the application part is a big part of the devotional part, because it's on the strength of hearing the scriptures from a proper source, having faith. This is a very important element to having faith in the source, as well as what the source is, you know, that the spiritual master is referring to. It's meant for my well-being. It's coming from a place of compassion and knowledge. There's the expert physician. He knows my disease. I'm going to follow the remedy. I'm going to apply the remedy. So receiving from the right source and applying the instructions, then this second type of namabhas can be passed over. Pause. So we're now going to hear in another book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Bhajana Rahasya. He takes these three, same three, and he details them further. So Asat Krishna has these different possible applications. Thirst for material objects, craving for material objects in this world, craving for heavenly sense pleasures in the next life, desire for mystic yoga powers, desire for liberation. Asat, Krishna. There's a nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that says the same thing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi, Kami, Sakale, Ashanta. There's three. Bhukti, material enjoyment. Mukti, liberation. Siddhi, mystic perfections. Sakale, Ashanta, makes the mind Ashanta, not peaceful. There's a way to make the mind peaceful, but it's not by thirst for the impermanent. And common is the thirst for the impermanent. And when one chants, where there's thirst for the impermanent, that's namabhas. And how to get rid of it or go beyond it? By good instruction and applying the instruction. Hridaya dorbalyam, weakness of heart. Attachment to trifling things unrelated to Krishna. Deceit. When I come back again, we'll speak a great deal about this because Jiva Goswami speaks a great deal about this. He says this, self-deception and deceiving others, whether it's, you know, commonly they go together, is the first sign of anartas. The byproduct of offense is this one. Here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying it's the source of the anarta. You know, one strengthens the other. Envy is someone else's progress. Longing for position and fame. And then the third, aparad. This is a whole other discussion. Again, Jiva Goswami enters into this in detail. Offense towards the holy name, offense towards Krishna himself, offense towards Krishna's devotees, and offense to other living entities. So we will, I'm enthusiastic to, I guess I'm making a commitment to, go into this some more. Because it's relevant, it's not just, you know, interesting information. The purpose of this is to help us go beyond just, you know, chanting mechanically and whatever it is, you know, 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later, 50 years later, we're not progressing substantially, or one lifetime, another lifetime, and another lifetime, not progressing substantially. Application of these teachings will help us move instead of remain stuck. We're all, I mean, I don't think any, at the end, questions at the end. I don't think any of us would want to volunteer. Yeah, I think taking birth again would be a fantastic proposition. No problem. I really look forward to it. Or if that's what Krishna wants, then no problem. You know, we wish to be, you know, free with Krishna and free from these struggles. These are very valuable instructions that if we receive them and apply them, we can go beyond this stage. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes a little commentary on Harinam Chintamani in this section. The serious practitioner or the sadhaka must fully submit his heart and soul to sincerely apply these instructions, both acceptance and rejection. There's a reason I've repeated it in three slides, so we get the message. Sincerely applying these instructions, both acceptance and rejection, is how to go beyond and submit oneself with heart and soul. By so doing, gradually, all mists and clouds, the obstructions blocking the holy name within the sky of one's heart. I like that. The sky of one's heart will be dissipated. Once the clouds and mist are removed, the sun of the holy name shines brilliantly once more and bestows upon the devotee pure love for Krishna. So that's our goal. We need to follow the process to get to the goal. Here's a little summary slide of what's been said so far. There's this sambandha position that we need to have some understanding of. Sambandha again is imparted to someone who is qualified with faith. I'll assume we're here instead of somewhere else in New York City on a Thursday night because there's some faith. And so that the message is being received with that qualification of some faith. And correct knowledge about the living entity, Krishna, his material nature, and their relationship is something that spiritual master and scripture teach us. We're meant naturally to be in a relationship with Krishna eternally, in love. And then there's a process that we follow the spiritual master gives the process and encourages that we take up the process, specifically starting with chanting and all of the other activities of devotion that follow chanting, serving Krishna. The sun of the holy name then shines stronger and evaporates the mist and clouds. And then gradually one can approach the goal. Chanting at this stage, the advanced stage, becomes an indispensable need. There's no question of, the dutifulness of completing one's prescribed chanting, etc. It's an indispensable need. That stage leads the devotee to pure love of God, at which point he experiences ecstasy in every moment of chanting. Until he is solidly grounded on proper Sambandhagyan understanding, one's chanting will be perpetually polluted by anartas. So this is the anatomy of Namabhas, that stage, and how to go beyond it. Here's a number of points summarized at the bottom. Namabhas is better than all the Vedas and all holy places. Namabhas is the best of all auspicious deeds or Shubha Karma. But it's not bad, but it's not fullness. Namabhas is the chief amongst all auspicious activities which bring benefit and which award piety. Why? Because by Namabhas, one gradually gains the required faith to accept and attain pure devotional service. Not so for the other auspicious processes. The gloriousness is that it has the capacity to bring one to the pure chanting or the pure holy name. It destroys sins and awards liberation from material world. It purifies one of the mud of Kali Yuga's materialism. It cures all such diseases. All fears and anxiety flee from Namabhas. The person who chants Namabhas is safe. Yakshas, Rakshasas, Bhutas, Pretas, goblins, evil planets, and Anartas all flee from Namabhas. Anybody have the experience or know someone that has had the experience of encountering a ghost? Yeah? So, I remember as a kid, you know, seeing ghost movies, and they would hold a crucifix and the ghost would pass away. So, similarly, chant the holy name and the ghost will flee. The ghost cannot stay. So if something like that happens, or you hear somebody that has happened, here's a little Bhaktivinoda Thakur story. As many of you know, as his profession, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a judge appointed by the British government to have a local Indian fellow in a high court judge position, which never happened, except it happened with him because he was so qualified. So one of the places he was posted, before he was posted in Puri, was in a place where on the outskirts of the place where everybody lived, whether it was a village or a town or a small city or whatever it was, there was a big tree that was inhabited by a ghost, and people were afraid of the ghost, so they would go to the base of the tree and make offerings to the ghost so the ghost wouldn't harm them or their family. They literally were worshipping the ghost to, like, you know, then not harm them for that purpose. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came there, he came to know that this was a practice going on. And so he found a Brahmin, and he used some of his earnings and gave a charity to the Brahmin, said, just sit under the tree and recite Srimad Bhagavatam from morning, from the rising of the sun until the setting of the sun every day. So he did that every day. He just recited Srimad Bhagavatam. And on the final day, when he completed the 18,000th verse, the ghost left the tree. And a voice could be heard from the sky a branch of the upper part of the tree broke, and the voice of the ghost said, just by this recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, I've now been relieved of this burden of being a ghost. And now I've been released. And that was the end of the ghost worship, because the ghost was gone. How? Just by hearing the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's now, without the Bhaktivedanta purports, it was just the verses in Sanskrit. Very, very powerful. So the holy name has the power to drive away all these things. By Namabhas, the souls fallen into hell are delivered. From Namabhas, all past prarabdha karma flees. So prarabdha karma means that karma that is due to manifest just now. Like now, like, you know, stub your toe or have somebody yell at you or, you know, something. Sky falls on your head or, you know, something, some calamity. More. Haridas says, Namabhas is greater than the result of studying all the Vedas, of visiting every pilgrimage place, or of performing every possible altruistic and pious work. Just chant Namabhas. The four goals offered in the Vedas, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, are made freely available by Namabhas chanting. It is endowed with unimaginable power to reclaim any living entity. And it goes on. It bestows unlimited joy and elevates even the derelicts. Lots of interesting stories of how the holy name has helped people who are in very far out condition in the early days of the Hare Krishna movement. To a very exalted stage of realization, Namabhas offers eternal residence in the spiritual abode of Vaikuntha, especially in Kali Yuga. This is the declaration of scripture. So it's not like Namabhas is a disease or something. It's very glorious. But it's not the fullness of the holy name. We'll find, this is from continuing in the chapter where Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about these four kinds of Namabhas, or Haridas Thakur speaks. This is where it's found if you're interested to look it up later. 6215 Bhagavatam. Sanketa Namabhas, Parihasa Namabhas, Stoba Namabhas, and Hela Namabhas. Here's the classic example of Sanketa, what Ajamila did. He called the name of Narayana, or Vishnu, or Krishna, one who does that, with a material object in mind. Or chanting the holy name unintentionally while thinking of some other object with the same sound. So that's Sanketa. You'll see another little kind of cartoonish depiction of, there's another type you'll see in just a moment. Because this type of Namabhas is the least offensive, the power of the holy name is intact to a large extent. Next. Okay, I purposely didn't put the text here. That's to identify the people in the painting. Who's this? Krishna. And here's two others next to Krishna. Arjuna and Bhima. Look at those muscles. And who's that? Jarasandha. Jarasandha. So, Jarasandha, whenever he spoke Krishna's name, you know, there's this, take a little bit of time. It was time for Maharaj Yudhisthira's Rajasuya Yajna. And the concern was, how can the Rajasuya Yajna, This is Uddhava's advice to Krishna. How can the Rajasuya Yajna be performed when there's still a king over here who opposes Maharaj Yudhisthira? We have to, you know, have him submit to Maharaj Yudhisthira or destroy him. And so the arrangement was made. Krishna made the plan. We'll all go dressed as brahmanas. We'll beg charity because Jarasandha is known for giving charity. So we'll ask him for charity. When he says yes, we'll ask him for a fight. And he can just pick any one of the three of us and we'll fight him. So when Jarasandha said, oh, I don't want to fight that black one. He's just like, he's a coward. He always runs from me. And Arjuna, well, you know, he's not, he's just a kid. But this big one over here, I'll fight with him. Bhima. So he was ridiculing Krishna. And that's a kind of namabhas. Parihasa namabhas, or joking about Krishna. And we experience this sometimes in Harinam. People pass by and they, ha 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 ha. Right? Okay. Now, this is Krishna again. And here's somebody losing their head. Who's that?
Shishupala.
Shishupal. There's Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra. Who's this with the big club? Bhima. And there's Arjuna with his bow. He, Shishupal, was insulting Krishna, and insulting Krishna, and insulting Krishna, insulting Krishna. Bhima picked up his club. He wanted to bash the guy. And Krishna held up his hand and said, no. Waited till the 100th time, and then Krishna released his Sudarshan Chakra. So when Shishupal was speaking Krishna's name, it was in derision, or stoba namabhas. Stoba namabhas. These are found in the Bhagavatam, different kinds of namabhas. Okay, here's one of the cartoon ones. Guy in the hospital, oh, here comes that lady again, the nurse. Haram, where one is intending one thing, but the Hara is being spoken, the name of the Lord. There's joking. There's derision. You, Hare Krishnas again. And there's inattentive. Or with contempt. Here's a little drawing that someone's chanting inattentively. Uttering the name in Hela with slight disrespect or inattention also brings benefit. This is distinct from the inattentiveness of the faithful. This is, you know, what we shouldn't do. We've seen this before. Devotees chanting and someone falls asleep while chanting. Uttering the name in Hela or with inattention, it still gives benefit, but you should stay awake. Then Haridas speaks about chanting with faith. So there's chanting where there's weak, there's chanting where there's strong faith, and there's chanting where there's giving the holy name to the faithless. In contrast, if one chants with faith, while ignorance and anarthas are still present, his chanting is called Shraddha Namavas. Even by chanting Namavas with contempt, one destroys sins. So what to speak of the effect of faithful chanting? Shuddha Namabhas very quickly destroys anarthas and can bring one to Shuddha Nam, which alone gives prema, pure love for Krishna. By Namabhas chanting, one can obtain everything except pure love for Krishna. You have to come to Shuddha Nam. But by Namabhas chanting, one may come to that Shuddha Nam stage if we are careful and avoid anartas. So that this is leading to the next 10 chapters of what are the anartas and how to overcome the anartas. We have to strive to overcome the anartas. The Namabhas stage moves into Shuddhanam stage by carefully guarding against the offenses that result in anartas. Remember those three? That was number three? Asat Krishna, Hridai Dorabalyam, and anartas. So now he's looking at when anartas have fled, pure chanting becomes manifest. That's what we want. No more anartas. We have to get rid of the source of those anartas. That's the offenses against the chanting of the holy name. Namabhas has no power to give pure love or prema directly. Only proper chanting, following the rules of chanting, give pure love. So here's the little summary. Namabhas is beneficial provided one strives to overcome or avoid offenses. Again, this is leading into chapter 4 and so on. What are the offenses? Okay, we're almost done with the chapter. There's two types of Namabhas. And they're pretty straightforward. One type is Chaya, or Chaya. Chaya means it gives a dim but true image, just like, so here's the sun, and there's all this filtering thing going on up in the sky, the clouds, but you can still see the sun. There's the image of the sun. This is Chaya Namabhas. This Namabhas, or the faint, shadowy name, caused by the cloud-like covering of ignorance, is also called Swarup Namabhas. The path to shadowy name is opened by Shraddha, or a shadow of Shraddha. When Shraddha just begin, faith is just beginning. You're just a new person and faith isn't strong yet. And just chanting, trying to develop faith, trying to develop access to the holy name. That's a type of Namabhas, Chaya Namabhas. It's symptomatic of ignorance and weakness of heart, those first two. Many anartas may plague the devotee in this condition, but all these faults are rectified by continuous chanting of the Lord's holy name, and then there is the Mayavadi kind of chanting of the holy name. And the Mayavadis, they see Krishna's name as well as his form, qualities, and pastimes as something material, false, illusory, temporary, etc. So this is another type of Namabhas, it's right on the borderline of offense. And it's compared to like the light of the sun reflected on water. And it's called Pratibimba Abhas. Or literally it means a distorted image, like an object that's reflected on moving water. So as the reflection of the sunlight is not the sunlight, and then the moving water distorts the reflection. So that's this kind of chanting. Such a distorted, broken reflection can never result in a complete perception of the original source of light. Mayavadis will never know Krishna by the chanting that they do. In fact, it increases their offensive tendency. But, good news, even a Mayavadi can be delivered by association with devotees. If a Mayavadi rejects the aspirations for sense pleasures and impersonal liberation, accepting his position as a servant of Krishna, giving up the Mayavadi conceptions, he'll be able to chant the true holy name. And that becomes possible through association of devotees who again and again hear and chant Krishna's glories, and gradually he can attain true knowledge of Krishna and his relationship with Krishna. So again, Haridas points to this, and this is next to the last slide. The soul, by his own power, cannot know the truth. But there is power given by the spiritual master in the form of instructions in the process of devotional service and sampandagyan, etc. And that can then nourish the natural faith of that person, that shraddha, namabhas. And after some time, that shraddha namabhas can result in the nama prema at this stage can come. The holy name then gives the gift of realized knowledge. So it's a nice expression. The holy name gives the gift of realized knowledge. And then the soul can understand the truth. So there's Krishna, there's the spiritual master, and there's the receiver of the holy name and the process of devotional service. So it's indispensable, receiving instructions and carefully applying the instructions so that this Shraddha Chaya Namabhas can come to the pure holy name stage. This is the final slide. Haridas says to Lord Chaitanya, only by taking shelter of you can the soul avoid bad association. I do not see any other way than taking shelter at your lotus feet. There's Haridas Thakur at his feet, but there's Bhaktivinoda Thakur at his feet also. Bhaktivinoda, who takes shelter at Haridas' feet again and again, sings this Harinama Chintamani. So the summary of the chapter is, this Namabhas stage is an intermediate stage that is meant to get us to the Shuddhanam stage, the pure chanting. And it's through the pure chanting that love of God can awaken. That's our objective or our goal. So we need instructions, and Haridas is about to give instructions on what the offenses are, that third category. Asatrishna was the first. Then Hridaya Dorbalya was the second, and Aparad was the third. So how to become free from the offenses against the holy name? What are the offenses and how to overcome the offenses? That's coming attractions. But before we go there, I wanted to speak some more next time I come on those taking a closer look and helping us to understand, how do we get in this fix? And what's the way out? There's a science to it. And understanding the science helps. It doesn't take care of it for us. It's not just information-based kind of presentation. But if we understand the fix that we're in and how to get outside of that fix that we're in through proper instructions, then it will, at least we're equipped and we can apply those instructions. Make the chanting that we do on a regular basis more and more effective. Avoid the treadmill, mechanical kind of performance of our daily devotional chanting. I think, you know, it's safe to say all of us would, there's lots of room for improvement in the quality of our chanting. We would actually like to improve the quality of our chanting. So hearing these nice instructions will help us, especially if we apply them. And go back to Krishna instead of taking breath again. Any discussion? Yeah.
Maharaj, regarding Vaishnava Aparad, is it considered an offense if we think about it and not speak it, or even thinking is this considered an offense? I do that a lot.
well, to say two things. the dispensation, one of the dispensations for the age of Kali is there is no karma accrued for thinking bad thoughts. There's no karma accrued. But bad thoughts do leave an impression in the mind. So there's block of the pure holy name from bad thoughts, especially ones that repeat themselves, because then it becomes part of our vasana, or part of our nature. There's towards a person or in regard to a particular topic to just, you know, to go there. It becomes really easy. So it's not karma accrued, but it blocks the pure holy name. And then a second is, thinking comes before acting. We think a thought that's bad, then we may, you know, if we don't check the thought, then speak it or do it. It's just one step away. It's not karmic bound, but it's not something we want to do. So you know, the next question is, well, what to do when such thoughts occur? Or if the tendency for such thoughts to occur is part of something that I experience. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching is that it's recognize, as you have just done, regret, as it sounds like you've already also done, and then for a Vaishnava, repentance is a form of Vaishnava tapa. And then the taking shelter of placing the mind in the proper position. There's a really nice verse that I can't remember the verse number right now. It's in Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Uddhava. It's right on topic, where he describes the position of a devotee who recognizes they have such a situation going on. And it's not specific to, you know, thinking a bad thought, but it's having attraction for something that's unwanted. So being self-honest, that devotee says, this tendency is there. And I know that it's contaminating, and it's going to lead to consequences, unwanted consequences. But I'm not there, I'm here. So let me continue to take shelter of the process, the bhajana kriya, devotional cultivating bhakti process, recognizing that these other things are there. In other words, don't beat yourself, don't hide it, just pretend, fake yourself out, fake other people out, don't be in that pretender, crooked position. Being straightforward in your position, take shelter of the holy name, knowing that there are consequences for those things, and it's going to block me from the holy name. Let me continue to strive towards the holy name, because that's the means of overcoming that and the reactions to that, the tendency to continue to do that. Yes, way in the back. Okay. Well, really simply, nam aparad is intentional and abhas is not. Meaning there, so like, it's a little bit like, if there's negligence by a medical doctor and a patient dies, and a medical doctor deliberately kills the patient. Or, you know, premeditated first degree murder and, you know, something else. So, when it's outright antagonism or blasphemy or offensiveness or atheism towards Krishna, that's offense. And Abbas is, we're trying to overcome that. We are trying to overcome that dark condition. And we may, like this, we may recognize that condition exists in me. But I'm trying to overcome it. Striving to overcome is Abbas. Alright? You alright? Not alright. I'm asking you, does that address your question?
Yes.
You have further question? Yes.
And so let's say, right, most of us have an argument.
Okay, we're doing some combination of those 10. And if we're just doing those things, we know what they, you and I at least, we know what they are. Supposing we commit sin on the strength of chanting, thinking, well, I'm chanting, so it's okay. That's offense. And if we understand, I may have this nature, there's a weakness. We all have weaknesses. And I'm not intentionally continuing my chanting, no, I'm going to be clean now because I'm chanting. I'm regretting that there's weakness. That's Abbas.
So, let's say, for instance, a devotee, just chanting, and he goes, to get a beer.
Goes where?
Goes to get a beer.
What happens?
He goes to get a beer.
Liquor store.
Liquor store. It depends, yes, so that's offense. And supposing there's another person that, before they were chanting, they had this strong habit. And due to circumstance, they got clobbered by the club of material energy and they're down and they're feeling, and they fall prey to some weakness. But they have some deep regret after falling prey to that weakness. It's not the same. The first one is offense, and the second one is, it's Abbas. Krishna, please help me overcome this weakness. Yes. 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 Yeah, your heart is hard. Okay. Yes.
Just in reference to that we were talking about wrong thoughts, and for example, you want to pray and ask for Krishna,
help me.
Yeah, but you should not mention it, because if you mention it, it's already become a karma.
Krishna knows, yeah. And you should know that Krishna knows. You don't have to not mention, and Krishna won't know.
But in prayer, sometimes you want to be more articulate, might use some thoughts which...
Bring your heart to Krishna. Don't worry about, is that a problem in bringing your heart to Krishna. Bring your heart to Krishna. Yeah, you had your hand up.
In terms of the of Namabhas being the chief of all auspicious or pious activities,
yeah.
Do those activities refer to, karmakanda type?
Yes, exactly.
But not other bhakti activities?
No.
Okay.
Karmakanda type. Karmakanda type. Yes, in the back?
Thank you, Maharaj. There's a friend of yours, Tarun Krishnadas. Tarun Krishnadas?
Tarun.
Yes.
Okay.
He wants to know what year you were initiated. He begged me to ask you.
He wants to know when I was initiated?
Yeah.
What year?
June 1970.
Question.
Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah.
If I may.
Yeah.
In terms of knowledge, sambandha gyan.
June 1971. June 1971. Sorry.
That's okay. What does it actually mean to have knowledge? Like, if a person can recite the 24 elements,
theoretical.
Different shaktis,
theoretical.
That's theoretical.
Yeah.
Is one in knowledge, if one can has that knowledge, or is...
There's different types of knowledge, isn't it? And that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
There's theoretical knowledge, and there's practical knowledge, jnana and vijnana. Prabhupada has made that distinction. Right. The jnana is when it's applied, and then knowledge becomes realized. When there's theoretical knowledge, one can know something and do something else. It's not uncommon. Mm-hmm. One knows something and does something else. And realized knowledge, it's more compelling, because realization comes, as we heard, when one actually has applied fundamental precepts or teachings from this preceptor, from the spiritual teacher. And then Krishna, seeing that submission, reciprocates with realization. Then it's more than just book knowledge. But book knowledge is a type of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Theoretical. Yes?
Maharaj, how is Parihasa or Stoba not Namaparad? I've always wondered, how is it not Namaparad? They're clearly offensive, Jarasandha and Shishupala.
I've had this discussion multiple times. Let me just see if my thoughts can go there. I mean, Shishupal, besides, you know, who he was in his previous life and all of that, Shishupal was definitely inimical from, literally from the day that he was born, even before he was just, you know, before he could talk. He was just inimical to Krishna. It's like, in his nature. Well, following, it gets back to his question about offense versus namabhas. Namaparad versus namabhas. Because following this definition, it's namabhas because the name is there, but the full potency of the name is being blocked for the person who is chanting it. In that sense, it's namabhas. But, you know, one can say there's an offense on the part of the person who is Shishupal and Jarasandha. They're offensive towards Krishna, big time. But the experience is, because the name is there, it's not the fullness of the name is being experienced. And it's namabhas. In which category? You know, it's not Chaya Namabhas, it's Pratibimba Namabhas. You know, quite distorted reflection. Let me think about this, and next time we get together, we'll speak on it some more.
Quick follow-up. This could be speculation. Was it namabhas because they said it in the presence of Krishna as opposed to...
No, not in the presence of Krishna. It's not the condition. You know, the mentality of the person is offensive, but the name is namabhas. Because it's the name, but it's not the fullness of the name coming through. And that it's the clouds of anarthas that arise from offense, the clouds of anarthas are blocking the fullness of the holy name. Therefore, namabhas. But the person is offensive. Now it gets back to his question. What's the difference? So the offensive chanting, you know, that's, you know, the person, not the name. There's the name, then there's the person who's chanting the name. So the person, Jarasandha and Shishupal, were definitely offensive. But the name was Namabhas. So then, let me consider and discuss with others. I'm not satisfied with the answer I'm giving. It's kind of like hitting the target but not the bullseye. So I want to consider more carefully. We'll speak again. Remember the question. I'm sure you remember the question. Someone else that hasn't? Yes?
Yeah, I had just missed when you said, when you were discussing.
I think there's two people.
Oh. Are you speaking? Oh. I was calling on Gail in the front, but
that's okay.
Go ahead. What about Krishna? This one here? Okay, that's Lord Chaitanya. That's Lord Chaitanya, and that's someone taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya.
Who's under the right down corner?
Right over here?
Yes.
That's Bhakti Vinod, the author of the book.
Thank you.
That was your question?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Anyone else that hasn't spoken yet? Because otherwise we got... Okay, Gail, go ahead.
Yeah, I just missed when you said, when you were discussing the four types of namabhas, which one causes the least blockage?
Sure.
You're referring to one of the slides here?
Yeah, there was a joking and...
Okay. Sanketa.
And Sanketa is what?
That was in reference to Ajamila.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let's see what it says. It's still Parihasa.
So you're calling Krishna's name, but you don't have him in mind.
Because this type of namabhas is the least offensive, the power of the holy name is intact to a large degree. So when Ajamila called for his son, although he was thinking of his son, not the Supreme Lord Narayan, the power of the holy name is intact to a large degree. Is that all right?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so I think we're ready for our concluding kirtan. Thank you all for coming. I have one question for you. Did anybody take the time and trouble to take those meditations on chanting the glories or meditating on the glories of the holy name before you began your japa? Some of you did that? A little bit? Did anybody find it, that those of you that did that, was beneficial? Yes? Would you like to share? One or two persons sharing what that was like?
Actually have a paper I can read my favorite quote.
But just share what the experience was.
I was just reading one particular quote by one Prabhu. I don't remember off the top of my head what it said, but I just remember my thought and my feeling being like I could really identify with that feeling.
And
so
then?
So when I went to the temple that morning, I just chanted more effectively. Like my first 108 chants were just very dynamic.
Uh-huh.
So after that, I don't know what happened, but that first 7 minutes is pretty good.
Okay. Anyone else would like to share one more? Someone tried that? Oh, yeah?
It seems like this is all focused on japa.
Yes.
And not harinam.
It's not specifically focused on japa, is it? But Haridas was, you know, renowned for his japa. But yeah, I purposely picked that picture at the first because they were having discussion in Bhagavatam, not just japa or kirtan. So.
My point was about the potency. When we're alone chanting japa or whatever we show the devotees, there is obviously potency to the holy name no matter what. But when you're on Harinam Sankirtan, I don't know if I'm the only one, but the potency is massively increased.
Yeah. Same thing.
So, like that.
Yeah, it seems so.
Is that sort of appropriate?
No, it's on the topic of chanting. It's not a response to the question I asked. The question I asked was, I was encouraging an exercise to help improve personal quality chanting, and that exercise was, before beginning chanting, you can, whether it's Harinam or Japa, take your mind either to that sheet of paper or whatever it is that you do as your as a practice. Hear or contemplate. Let your consciousness enter into a meditation on the glory of the holy name, and then chant and see what the experience is like. Krishna Kumari?
Yes, I read that in the morning while I was at work, and the chanting didn't immediately follow, but I did chant later when I went home. And usually when I go home, I'm sorry, Maharaj, I don't have a neglected morning program where I chant in the morning. I can usually do it after when I get home. And the 16 rounds becomes just so bewildering. It becomes a challenging prospect. And sometimes I don't want to do it, but magically, yesterday, within that lapse of time, the 16 rounds came so easily. Mm-hmm. And I can only attribute it to the mantra that I read 8 hours prior in the morning at work while I was sitting at the desk.
Because this is a weekday and most of you do have to do something tomorrow, school or work or whatever, we'll end. But I'll encourage you, try it. And you know, more than try it, make it a, see what happens if you do it like steadily for a while. I made this presentation, the entire Harinam Chintamani, when I was in China during the national holiday in the first week of October. And so I was there for a week, you know, every day. And it got to be the point where most of the devotees attending the seminar were doing this, and they were expressing the principle, because there are certain principles, and then it says application of principles. There's a principle of humility that has been emphasized by Haridas Thakur and about Haridas Thakur. So approaching holy name in that humble mood makes it easier to receive, appreciating glories of what you're receiving, what you're involving, you're engaging yourself with, helps open the heart and receive and engage with the holy name more effectively. So this exercise was an exercise of, a little bit, 3 minutes, 4 minutes of before jumping in the pool, contemplating what it is that you're about to do. You're aligning the heart and the intelligence, discerning what it is, and the mind, the feelings within the mind, and then approaching the holy name. It's a whole other experience. It enhances your over a period of time, for sure, enhance the experience of the holy name, which is the whole purpose of why I'm doing all of this, is to help us go from wherever we are to where we want to be. And there's a big gap. And so, close the gap. All right, let's have kirtan, congregational chanting.